World Sport from the BBC now with me, Aaron Armstrong. Coming up, we're live in Melbourne on day two of the Australian Open tennis. Angola reached the quarterfinals of the Africa Cup of Nations, so delight for the home fans and...
If you accept that there is a need to rest players at times, then a captain should be allowed to have that rest as well.
Andrew Strauss steps aside for England's tour of Bangladesh. First to Melbourne and another day of first-round matches at the Australian Open Championships. Roger Federer and the defending women's champion Serena Williams will be the highlights on the Rod Laver Arena a little bit later. Let's cross live to the BBC's Alistair Eakin. It's early in the season, Alistair, but you'd expect those two to progress without too much trouble.
I think so, yes. I mean, as you mentioned, this being the first Grand Slam of the year, it is the kind of place where we do have some surprising results. Sharapova yesterday, and it has a history of throwing up people who go through the tournament perhaps a little unexpectedly, but you would expect Serena Williams to come through against Ursula Radvanska, who is a young Pole. She's 18 years old, ranked 72 in the world, a Wimbledon junior champion of 3 years ago, but Serena Williams should have the measure of her. I think Roger Federer arguably has the tougher task. He's playing Russia's Igor Andreev, who is something of a journeyman on the world tour. He's the world number 37, been around a long time. And the last time they met, he took Federer to five sets at the US Open a couple of years ago. So he's more than capable. But again, you would expect Federer, with all his class and the experience that he has here at the Australian Open, to come through that.
Now, play began almost 2 hours ago. Anna Ivanovic, is safely through, but the men's ninth seed, Fernando Verdasco, struggling a little bit.
Yes, just a little bit. Verdasco, he dropped the opening set on a tiebreak to Carsten Ball of Australia, but Verdasco has just secured a break of serve in the second, and he leads by 5-4. Verdasco, of course, the man who ripped his way through to the semi-finals here last year before being beaten by Nadal in five sets. An extraordinary match, 5.25 hours long. So he's hoping to go one better even this year. So he's leading 5-4 second set, having dropped the first. Anna Ivanovic has gone through, as you mentioned. Good win for her, former finalist here from a couple of years ago.
Alistair Eakin, thanks very much. You can keep up to date with everything from Melbourne in our later bulletins. Let's turn to football. The hosts Angola have qualified for the quarterfinals of the Africa Cup of Nations. The 0-0 draw with Algeria in Luanda was enough to send both teams through to the last eight, with Angola topping the group. From there, the BBC's Piers Edwards reports.
Hosts Angola delighted a nervy nation when making the Nations Cup quarterfinals for only the second time in history. And the fans will care little that the goalless draw at a packed 11th November stadium was low on action, or that Algeria had the better chances. Defender Majid Bouguerra should have scored early on, but fired straight at Angolan keeper Carlos from just 3 yards, while Hamer Bouazza twice caused the home defence serious problems. Missing the injured Flavio, the tournament's top scorer, Angola created little, but a draw was always going to be enough. The hosts now stay here in Luanda for Sunday's first quarter-final, while Algeria's World Cup finalists must travel to Cabinda. The celebrations here and in Algeria will go on long into the night, but like the players, the fans will have 5 full days to recover.
So the draw between Angola and Algeria was a result that suited both teams. However, the Angolan defender Zuela denied his side had been playing for a draw.
You see that Angola tried to win.
Even in the last half an hour?
Yes, we try. Everybody try. You don't see?
Not in the last half an hour, no. It was
no,
so
we
slow.
We try. Okay, the opening, they didn't let us to go in front, but we try.
So celebrations for fans of Angola and Algeria, but a different picture in the other Group A fixture in Cabinda, where Mali are out of the Nations Cup, despite a 3-1 win over Malawi. The BBC's Matthew Kenyon has more.
With the other two teams in this group drawing, Mali's win was not enough to take them through. They know they should have been better here in Angola. Looking for a victory and hoping the other result would go their way, they got off to the perfect start when Malawi gifted Freddy Kanute the opening goal inside 50 seconds. And that lead was extended 2 minutes later thanks to a fabulous Seydou Keita free kick. Malawi, to their credit, didn't wither and came back into the match, especially in the second half when lead striker Russell Mwafulewa forced home a scrambled effort to reduce the deficit and give Malawi hope. But the goal which would have taken them through never came, Mwafulewa himself heading the ball into the ground and over the bar when he had an open goal. At the end, Mali scored a third through Bakayoko, but by that time it was clear the other game was going to end in a draw and both Mali and Malawi go home.
So a disappointing end for one of the pre-tournament favourites, Mali, and their striker Freddy Kanute has hinted this could spell the end of his international career.
the place is for the youngster that's going to come, you know. I've done my time in national team. I've done everything I could do. I'm not going to say any scoop right now, but, you know, I don't know right now.
Ghana's Michael Essien has been ruled out of the tournament after injuring his right knee. It means he'll miss the vital group match against Burkina Faso on Tuesday. The Chelsea midfielder is returning to England for further treatment after sustaining a knock in training on Sunday, and he misses the match Ghana must win to reach the quarterfinals. Essien's teammate Matthew Omoa says he'll be a massive loss.
For me and for the whole team, it's a really big blow for us. Yeah, we lose most because it's our motto in our midfield, and just it's really important for us because he do everything. He wins most of the balls in the midfield, and he also give good passes to the strikers. And for us, it's really bad news that he's out.
Now, away from the Cup of Nations, FIFA have announced they'll take no disciplinary action against the French striker Thierry Henry. It follows his controversial handball in November's World Cup qualification playoff against the Republic of Ireland. FIFA's disciplinary committees concluded there was no legal foundation for them to deal with the case, and the decision means Henry won't face a ban for any matches at the World Cup finals in South Africa this summer. Some cricket news. Bad light meant that less than 25 overs were possible in Chittagong on the second day of the first test between Bangladesh and India. But there was time for Sachin Tendulkar to record his 44th test century. He top scored with an unbeaten 105 as India were bowled out for 243. Bangladesh closed on 59 for 3, and despite the poor weather, their coach Jamie Sydens is hopeful of posting a big total.
Just depends what the weather does, I guess. It's... There's still 3 days to go. This, you know, only got 20 odd overs in today. It's a bit disappointing. It left everyone a bit flat. It was shaping up as a really good contest. We would have needed to have batted pretty well today, but tomorrow's another day. We've still got a lot of batting to come, so I'm hopeful that we'll post a pretty good score and put them under some pressure.
England selectors have decided to rest their captain Andrew Strauss for next month's tour to Bangladesh. Opening batsman Alistair Cook will lead the side in the Test and One Day International series. Strauss captained his country in 14 Tests and 21 Day Internationals last year and admits he needs a break.
I'm feeling pretty jaded. It's been a long tour. It's been a long year, to be honest with you, with the Ashes involved as well. And, you know, my own personal view on this, and I know it's shared by other members of the England management, is that if you accept that there is a need to rest players at times, given the hectic international schedule we have, then a captain should be allowed to have that rest as well.
66 players will be seeking places in the lucrative Indian Premier League when the auction for the new season goes ahead in Mumbai later on Tuesday. But many will be left disappointed as no more than 12 berths will be filled for the 8 teams. The West Indian batsman Kieran Pollard and New Zealand fast bowler Shane Bond, along with the Australian opening batsman Phil Hughes, are expected to attract plenty of interest. Finally, swimming's governing body's planning to retest drug samples from last year's World Championships for evidence of blood doping. FINA said it would examine samples to check for the presence of plasticizers, tiny particles of plastic left over from blood bags. FINA will also look into the introduction of a biological passport program to monitor swimmers' blood profiles for evidence of doping and consider storing drug samples for at least 8 years after World Championships for possible future retests. A reminder before we go that Serena Williams will get the defence of her Australian Open title underway shortly against Poland's Ursula Radwanska. And that's the latest world sport from the BBC here in London.